This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is 93XRT. I'm Marty Rosenbaum, and right now I'm joined by Drew McGarry of GQ and Deadspin, and in town today for a live taping of the Deadcast podcast tonight at Thalia Hall. Drew, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, glad to have you here. So you're in town doing a live podcast recording followed by the Bears and Seahawks Monday night football game. And
yeah!
There's a renewed excitement in Chicago that immediately went away when they blew the game to the Packers.
Right. I felt awful. You know what I did? I'm going to confess. All right, so they went up, and when Rodgers came back on the field, I went to bed because I was like, look, either they're going to blow it, and I don't want to watch them blow it. Or it'll just be a blowout and it'll just stay a bad game. But yeah. I didn't. If the game turned good, that would turn bad for me because I'm a Vikings fan, but I hate the Packers.
So you've had that sinking feeling before, and we see Aaron Rodgers trot out down, you know, 10 or more points in the fourth quarter. You know, it's not going to end well.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yes, I experienced a sensation just yesterday. It was so much fun.
But you guys tied.
Yeah, but it didn't feel like no tie. It did not feel like a tie when they're missing three field goals and
exactly.
I want to die.
Exactly. Well, I'm happy you're able to come in today because the venue that you guys are hosting your taping at tonight, Thalia Hall, is a newer music venue but an older building. And you're an avid music fan as well, something that you write about fairly decently and then comment on Twitter too. So
love me some music.
There's one take since you're a take master that I want to get you on.
Give me the take.
What is your working definition of dad rock?
Okay. I think it has to be like 20 years old.
At least 20.
At least 20. Like I think right now, like I don't think like Linkin Park is dad rock yet.
Okay.
I think it's gonna be dad rock soon. But like Pearl Jam and Nirvana, that's all dad rock now. Don't you think?
I think so at this point.
I think it's 20 years. And it's also honestly, I mean, this is very basic, but if dads like it, there's a problem. And like I sully the bands I like by patronizing them because I'm old and lame and horrible. So by definition, if I like your band, then if you are not dad rock yet, you are well on your way to becoming dad rock.
And that's a measure of success then.
Well, it's just such a great sign for you. I mean, who doesn't love rock these days? It's the hippest genre
exactly.
of all.
Well, rock and roll, you know, used to have that edge.
Yeah.
Where people were jerks for the sake of being jerks. And that's something, you know, I've encountered working here is people are really nice these days.
There are
a lot of rock stars. And it's almost like, where's the danger?
Why aren't you spitting in my face
exactly.
right now?
Do you think rock and roll has lost its edge at all?
I mean, no. I think the onus is on you to find the good rock that you like now. It's not as dominant as it was. And I think culturally it was surpassed by hip-hop a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I think, especially in terms of bravado and in terms of swagger, I think hip-hop just has that over rock right mm-hmm. now. I think there are bands that bands out now like the Struts and Still Queens that have that edge. But, you know, it's just a different world. But I think rock can still exist in that world, but it's going to be a chore for you. It's going to take some effort on your part. You know, to go through your Spotify browsing and make sure that you find bands you like. And it's it's easier than sifting through a record store than it was in my day, so.
Exactly. Well, and even bands like Foo Fighters now, they still
Foo Fighters are dad rock now.
They are dad rock.
You know what? I went to a concert of theirs, and I went because I really liked this band, the Struts, and they were opening for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had seen the Foo Fighters and always liked them. But I was definitely like, I had sort of retired the Foo Fighters from my rotation.
Okay.
And then I saw them live, and they were fantastic. They played balls out for like 2.5 hours, and it like flew by. It wasn't like, when can I go take a potty break?
Yeah.
Because you'll have that with rock concerts.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were really good, and I went back to my coworkers, and I was like, I saw the Foo Fighters, and they were great. And they're like, nice dad.
So you got crap for that.
Of course I did. I was like, whatever, man. We're still rocking forever.
When Dave Grohl headbangs for 2.5 hours, you can't give anyone crap for that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a sight to see.
I am absolutely Homer in the Homer Palooza episode.
Well, you mentioned the Struts, and that's one band that you've struck up a pretty decent relationship, and you wrote the liner notes for their album.
I know.
Coming up. How'd that come about?
It is literally a dream come true to sell all of my ethics out just so I can hang out with a band.
Yeah.
Cool. I got to hang out on their bus once and I felt so cool. And the bassist gave me a beer and I was like, yes, rock and roll. Rock and roll.
So do you casually drop that when you're out in the audience watching their show, or are you just smoozing with people backstage who are saying the same exact thing?
No, I go to the show because my wife really likes them too, and so we go and we sing along. Mm-hmm. We just really enjoyed the show. And just one time, it was when they opened for the Foo Fighters, I got to go onto the bus and stuff like that. And okay. They're all incredibly nice guys, and they had a really nice story because they're from England. They couldn't break in England. They came over here. They re-released their album with new tracks on it, their debut album, and they just toured their asses off,
mm-hmm.
just hitting every... I mean, they hit, like, the Bottle and Cork in Delaware, like, where we would... Like a bar I would go, like, when I'm on vacation. Like, they'll play anywhere, and they would win over all these audiences because they're just so good live. And the lead singer, Luke Spiller, just, like, he knows how to make a crowd love him. And so I wrote about them. And they enjoyed the post so much that we sort of had a relationship from there. So I feel very good having a relationship with a band. It makes me feel alive and happy.
And that should give you extra dad points from there as well, right?
Yeah, and the new album's terrific, too. It'll be out in October.
Yeah, so we're excited to hear that. And there's a post that you wrote for GQ with Luke Spiller, the 21st Century Guide to Being a Rock Star.
Yeah, that's right.
Which was awesome because you still retain some of that edginess that we were talking about before, but you don't go to this over-the-top persona, just making it known the second you walk in that you're a jerk.
No, I don't think so. I think, especially now, I just think it's a different world, and I think bravado and swagger can exist, but, you know, I think there's just a general coolness. It's better to be cool than mm-hmm. to be a hot-headed D-I-C-K, you know?
Exactly. So, you know, when I was growing up, my dad introduced me to bands like, you know, Frank Zappa, Jimi Hendrix, Talking Heads, who... At the time, I was like, all right, this is kind of weird. I don't know how much I enjoy this.
Yeah, I hate Frank Zappa.
You hate Frank Zappa?
I hate Frank Zappa.
Ah, bummer.
That's all right. You can tell me.
That's fair. We all have our own preferences. But, you know, how do your kids react when you get really enthusiastic about a band? Like, you play in the Struts or Queens of the Stone Age. Do they just look at you and do they take it? Or
no, my kids really like pop. My daughter, my oldest daughter and my older son like they like the Struts. My son likes Go With the Flow by Queens of the Stone Age because mm-hmm. it was on a video game that he played, so he was very excited about that. And then my youngest son, who's 6, if I put on my music, he gets angry and he starts screaming, like, turn it off, like within 5 seconds, and then I yell at him because I'm like, it's daddy's time for music. And it's just a whole big horrible thing.
Do you think they're going to grow to appreciate it one day?
Yeah, no. It depends. I mean, they do like bands. Like my youngest son does like the Black Keys and stuff like that. But also, like, I appreciate pop more than I used to. You know, because like I grew up in the 80s, and I was like, pop's for losers and wusses. You know, rock and roll.
Yeah.
But like, I have a deep appreciation now for like if there's a good song by like The Weeknd that comes out, I enjoy it quite a bit.
Yeah, and that stems just from your kids listening to that all the time.
Yeah, because there's no self-branding in music anymore. You like what you like, and there's no shame in that unless you like Nickelback.
Well, there's another, you know, this is something I'm not sure if you've covered before, but I need to get your take on it. Concert etiquette. Make a long question short, you know, what's a good way to enjoy yourself at a show, to be rock and roll without being a jerk?
I mean, I think the number one thing, I used to get peeved when people would take the phones out. I don't get mad at that anymore, but don't mm-hmm. record the whole concert. You know, like take a photo of them on stage or take like a 10-second clip of them rocking out or something like that.
Yeah.
But don't do the whole show because it's going to sound like garbage anyway.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to want to watch it. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't make any sense. It's just bad.
Yeah.
You know, the band will put something on YouTube from the soundboard anyway that'll sound 1,000 times better than what you have. So just don't have the phone out for that long. Don't, you know, use the bathroom if you gotta use the bathroom. Don't whiz on the floor, you know, and don't mosh people who don't want to be moshed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and don't go grabbing people. Oh, and the other thing is, you know, if it's general seating and people are sort of established in their positions, don't try to like, don't come be giant come lately and try and knock me off of my mark and
yeah.
get in front of me. It's too late.
Yeah.
It's too late. You had your chance.
If you want the spot, get there early.
Yeah, if you want the spot, get there early. Don't knock me off, because I'm going to assume the football stance and I'm going to be like Khalil Mack sitting there like, you will not unmoor me from my anchorage.
So it's an interesting point you brought up about cell phone usage, because I thought the same thing, especially when you're dropping $150 on a concert ticket. I don't mind you taking out the cell phone, take a video, take a photo of the band, but if you're holding it up the whole time, that kind of ruins the whole experience.
Yeah, I think it's draconian, like when Jack White like bans phones forever and you got to check your phone at the gig and all that. I think that's stupid. But like, I went and saw GNR at FedEx Field, and it was a good concert, but the dude in front of me was doing panoramic photos the whole concert. So he's standing in front of me with the phone up, you know, going left to right and all. I'm like, you got enough photos. You got coverage. Just enjoy the stupid concert.
How did he react to that?
No, I didn't say that. I was thinking that in my brain. I was way too much of a coward to actually say anything to the guy.
So what about going to a show and seeing someone wearing a band's t-shirt at the show?
You know what? I know that's a party foul, so I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know. Like, if I buy it at the merch stand and I got to carry it around, like, I'll wear it. But I get it. People don't do it. But like, I don't know. If I go to a football game and I wear my team's jersey, that's what you do.
Right.
I don't know why rock's different.
I don't see any difference between it, really.
I don't, but it's the rule, and I don't want, you know, I'm enough of a gullible dupe that I will succumb to peer pressure and not do it. It is funny, though. You can wear a t-shirt for another band, though.
Right.
It's like, I like this affiliated band,
too. Well, and that seems to give you more street cred when you're at the show. It's like, oh, no, I'm not cool enough to actually wear this regular band shirt, but I like this other band that may be vaguely associated with them.
Yeah.
In terms of the person next to them, all you get is like a thumbs up, or maybe get the joint past you or something.
The other thing is the risk of the merch stand, like, making sure it fits. Because, like, I've done, like, you know, you're drunk and you're in haste and you feel self-conscious trying on a shirt in front of people. But then you get home and it's like a baby tube top.
This is the wrong size. Why did I do this?
Awful.
Or trying to get a giant poster and just carry it with you while finagling a beer at the same time.
Right.
So one of the series that you're well known for online is your Haters Guide series, which you seemingly have a Haters Guide to everything at this point.
Yes.
Is there one Haters Guide that you haven't written that you really want to write?
No, they usually spring up organically, except for Williams-Sonoma, which is just sort of became an annual tradition. But apart from that, no, it's only going to happen if it just sort of comes up and it's naturally something to write about. I try not to be too strained about it. And, you know, honestly, like, I've been doing this so long, I think I've pretty much bitched about everything.
If there's anything left at this point.
There may not be anything left. There's a lot. I've picked a lot off the bone.
Yeah, well, you know, your readers who have followed those types of series for these years on end at this point know what they're getting out of it. But I'm sure you get people who are reading it for the first time being like, what's this guy's deal? Why is he so angry at everything? You know, do you still get their response, or are they pretty hip to what's going on at this point?
We get that sometimes. Yeah, it's like the best one are like the old biddies who are like, why'd you have to curse? that's the best funny complaint.
Yeah.
Like, wow, someone is swearing online. I can't believe it.
Do you have one complaint that's like really stuck with you for some reason?
I can't think of one off the top of my head, but if you give me a minute, I'll try to think of one.
That's
fine. The profanity police are always the funnest ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
The best one, actually, when I do Why Your Team Sucks for Deadspin, which is a breakdown of all the bad NFL teams. The best is because I'm a Vikings fan, but I do it for every team, including my own.
Mm-hmm.
And when people get really mad about that, they assume I'm a fan of their rival team and that I only did the post for their team and their team alone. They're like, you must be a butthurt Bengals fan. And they don't know I'm not.
Well, you know, the whole reason you're in town tonight, like we mentioned earlier, is you're doing a live Deadcast taping.
Yeah!
Dahlia Hall tonight, 6 p.m. Tickets are available at deadspin.com. If you want to check it out, check Drew and his co-partner, David Roth, will be doing a live taping before the show, followed by a watching of the Bears-Seahawks Monday night game. So I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, what is your prediction on the Bears this year?
I still think they're good. I know last week was really heartbreaking, but they're clearly better than they were a year ago. They have a better coach. Who cares? With Mac, Mac is just completely insane. He was completely as advertised last week.
Yeah.
So I think they win. I think they win the game tonight, and it would not surprise me if they went 500 or better.
Okay.
I think. I mean, it's a difficult division, but they're a good team. And the other thing is that the Lions stink. So they already have sort of. To me, they will not be in the basement.
Okay.
I don't think.
Well,
it's
like I mentioned earlier, it's weird actually getting excited to watch football again because the Bears have been so bad the past
right.
5 years. I mean, seemingly since 85, depending on who you ask.
Right. Of
which,
course.
You know, is a topic I don't want to go down because we'll be here for another
this
hour.
This town.
But you spent some time in Chicago earlier on.
I grew up here. Yeah. Yeah. Ages 5 to 8.
So you've had some experience with Bears fans firsthand.
Yeah.
If you had 5 words to describe them, what would they be?
No, usually pleasant and drunk. I don't need 5 words.
There pleasant and drunk. There we go.
And I was telling Roth about this. I love Chicago, and it's like I spent most of my childhood in Minnesota, mm-hmm. where people are very nice, but it's like it's not the most pleasant nice. Like it wears on you after a while. Chicago has just enough causticness to sort of wipe that out. So people are nice, but it feels genuine. And it's just always like a general good times vibe to the town that I always have enjoyed. Plus, yeah. I can just eat all the wet Italian beef sandwiches I can possibly get.
Have you had some so far?
Hell yeah.
Okay, good.
Hell yeah.
I went
to Portillo's and everyone's going to yell at me for going to Portillo's, but I still like it. I don't care.
That's their problem. It's delicious. I mean, you can't go wrong with an Italian beef.
Yeah, it's a big Italian beef dunked in gravy. I don't need the best. I need what I know is good.
Exactly. Great hangover food also.
Oh, the best.
Go from there. So once again, the Deadcast is taping tonight at Thalia Hall. Tickets are still available at deadspin.com. Doors are opening at 6 p.m. following a conversation with Drew and David Roth. Starting at 6:30 will be the Bears-Seahawks game. Drew, thanks so much for stopping by and chatting
today. Hey, thank you so much. It was awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, dude.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.